Part 1. Across the Stars. Chapter 1. Selvaris, faintly green against a sweep of white-hot stars, and with only a tiny moon for companionship, looked like the loneliest of planets. Almost 5 years into a war that had seen the annihilation of peaceful worlds, the disruption of major hyperlanes, the fall and occupation of Coruscant itself, the fact that such a backwater place could rise to sudden significance was perhaps the clearest measure of the frightful shadow the Yuuzhan Vong had cast across the galaxy. Immediate evidence of that significance was a prisoner of war compound that had been hollowed from the dense coastal jungle of Selvaris's modest southern continent. The compound of wooden detention buildings and organic hive-like structures known as Grashals was enclosed by Yorick coral walls and watchtowers that might have been thrust from the planet's aquamarine sea or left exposed by a freakishly low tide. Beyond the tall scabrous perimeter, where the vegetation had been leveled or reduced to ash by plasma weapons, rigid blades of knee-high grass poked from the sandy soil, extending all the way to the vibrant green palisade that was the tree line. Whipped by a persistent salty wind, the fan-like leaves of the tallest trees flapped and snapped like war banners. Standing between the prison camp and a brackish estuary that meandered finally to the sea, the jungle combined indigenous growth with exotic species, bioengineered by the Yuuzhan Vong and soon to become dominant on Selvaris, as had already happened on countless other worlds. Two charred Yorick Trima landing craft, not yet fully healed from recent deep space engagements with the enemy, sat in the spacious prison yard. Shuffling past them came a group of humans, bald-domed Bith, and thick-horned Gotals, carrying three corpses wrapped in cloth. His back pressed to one of the coral craft, a Yuuzhan Vong guard watched the prisoners struggle with the dead. "Be quick about it," he ordered. "The Morlur doesn't like to be kept waiting." The camp's prisoners had argued vehemently to be allowed to dispose of bodies, according to the customs of the deceased, but graves or funeral pyres had been expressly forbidden by the order of the Yuuzhan Vong priests who officiated at the nearby temple. Their ruling was that all organics had to be recycled. The dead could either be left to Selvaris's ample and voracious flocks of carrion eaters, or be fed to the Yuuzhan Vong biote, known as a Morlur, which some of the more well-traveled prisoners characterized as a mating of trash compactor and sarlacc. The guard was tall and long-limbed, with an elongated sloping forehead and bluish sacks underscoring his eyes. The light of Selvaris's two suns had reddened his skin slightly, and the planet's hothouse heat had turned him lean. Facial tattoos and scarifications marked him as an officer, but he lacked the deformations and implants peculiar to commanders. Bound by a ring of black coral, his dark hair fell in a side knot to below his shoulders, and his uniform tunic was cinched by a narrow hide belt. A melee weapon coiled around his muscular right forearm like a deadly vine. What made Subaltern Sito unusual was that he spoke basic, though not nearly as fluently as his commander. The prisoners paused briefly in response to Sito's order that they hurry.
"We'd sooner see their bones picked clean by scavengers than let them be a meal for your garbage eater," the shortest of the humans said.
"Make the Morlur happy by throwing yourself in," a second human added.
"You tell him, Commonor," the Gotal beside him encouraged.
Shirtless, the prisoners were slick with sweat and kilos lighter than when they had arrived on Selvaris 2 standard months earlier, after being captured during an abortive attempt to retake the planet Gindyne. Those who wore trousers had cut them off at the knee and likewise trimmed their footwear to provide no more than was needed to keep their feet from being bloodied by the coarse ground or the waves of thorned senilax that thrived outside the walls.
Sito only sneered at their insolence and waved his left hand to disperse the cloud of insects that encircled him. The short human cracked a smile and laughed.
"That's what you get for using blood as body paint, Sito."
Sito puzzled out the meaning of the remark.
"Insects are not the problem, only that they are not Yuuzhan Vong insects."
With uncommon speed, he snatched one out of the air and curled his hand around it.
"Not yet, that is."
World-shaping had commenced in Selvarus's eastern hemisphere and was said to be creeping around the planet at the rate of 200 kilometers per local day. Bioengineered vegetation had already engulfed several population centers, but it would be months before the botanical imperative was concluded. Until then, all of Selvarus was a prison. No residents had been allowed off-world since the internment camp had been grown and all enemy communications facilities had been dismantled. Technology had been outlawed. Droids especially had been destroyed with much accompanying celebration and in the name of benevolence. Liberated from their reliance on machines, sentient species might at long last glimpse the true nature of the universe, which had been brought into being by Yun Yuuzhan in an act of selfless sacrifice, and was maintained by the lesser gods in whom the Creator had placed his trust.
"Maybe you should just try converting our insects," one of the humanoids suggested. "Start with threatening to pull their wings off," the short human said.
Sito opened his hand to display the winged bug, pinched between forefinger and thumb but unharmed.
"This is why you lose the war, and why coexistence with you is impossible. You believe we inflict pain for sport, when we do so only to demonstrate reverence for the gods." He held the pitiful creature at arm's length. "Think of this as yourselves. Obedience leads to freedom, disobedience to disgrace."
Abruptly, he smashed the insect against his taut chest.
"No middle path. You are Yuuzhan Vong, or you are dead."
Before any of the prisoners could reply, a human officer stepped from the doorway of the nearest hut into the harsh sunlight. Thick-set and bearded, he wore his filthy uniform proudly.
"Commonor, Antar, Clockdor, that's enough chatter," the officer said, referring to them by their native worlds rather than by name.
"Carry on with your duties and report back to me."
"On our way, Captain," the short human said, saluting. "That's Paige, right?" the Gotal asked. "I hear nothing but good things."
"All of them true," one of the Bith said, "but we need 10,000 more like him if we're ever going to turn this war around."
As the prisoners moved off, Sito turned to regard Captain Judder Paige, who held the subaltern's appraising gaze for a long moment before stepping back into the wooden building. The body bearer had spoken the truth, Sito thought. Warriors like Paige could snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. The Yuuzhan Vong held the high ground in the long war, but only barely. The fact that a prison camp had had to be grown on the surface of Selvarus was proof of that. Normally a battle vessel would have served as a place of detention, but with the final stages of the conflict being waged on numerous fronts, every able vessel was deployed to engage hostile forces on contested worlds, patrol conquered systems, defend the hazy margins of the invasion corridor, or protect Yuuzhan Tar, the hallowed center, over which Supreme Overlord Shimra had now presided for a standard year. In any other circumstance, there would have been little need for high walls or watchtowers, let alone a full complement of warriors to guard even such high-status prisoners as the mixed-species lot gathered on Selvarus. At the start of the war, captives had been fitted with manacles, immobilized in Blorash jelly, or simply implanted with surge coral and enslaved to a Duryam, a governing brain. But living shackles, quick jelly, and surge coral were in short supply, and Duryams were so scarce as to be rare. Were Sito in command, Paige and others like him would already have been executed. As it was, too many compromises had been made. The wooden shelters, the disposal of bodies, the food.
No matter the species, the prisoners had no stomach for the Yuuzhan Vong diet. With so many of them succumbing to their battle wounds or malnutrition, the prison commander had been forced to allow food to be delivered from a nearby settlement, where the residents plucked fish and other marine life from Selvarus's bountiful seas and harvested fruits from the planet's equally generous forests. Against the possibility that resistance cells might be operating in the settlement, the place was even more closely guarded than the prison. It was said among the warriors that Selvarus had no indigenous sentience, and in fact, the settlers who called the planet home had the look of beings who had either been marooned or were in hiding. The sentient who delivered the weekly rations of food was no exception. Covered with a nap of smoke-colored fur, the being walked upright on two muscular legs, and yet was graced with a useful-looking tail. Paired eyes sparkled in a slender mustachioed face, the prominent feature of which was a beak of some cartilaginous substance, perforated at intervals like a flute and down-curving over a drooping polar mustache. He was harnessed to a wagon that rode on two Yorick coral wheels and was laden with baskets, pots, and an assortment of bulging homespun sacks.
"Nutrition for the prisoners," the sentient announced as he neared the prison's bonework front gate.
Sito ambled over while a quartet of sentries busied themselves removing the lids of the baskets and undoing the drawstrings that secured the sacks. He sniffed at the contents of one of the open bags.
"All this has been prepared according to the commander's instructions?" he asked the food-bearer in Basic.
The being nodded. The fur on his head was pure white and stood straight up as if raised by fright.
"Washed, decontaminated, separated into flesh, grains, and fruits, fearsome one."
The honorific was usually reserved for commanders, but Sito didn't bother to correct the food-bearer.
"Blessed as well?"
"I arrived directly from the temple."
Sito glanced down the unsurfaced track that vanished into the high jungle. To provide the garrison with a place of worship, the priests had placed a statue of Yun Yamka, the Slayer, in a grashal grown specifically for use as a temple. Close to the temple stood the commander's grashal and barracks grashals for the lesser officers. Sito lowered his flat-nosed face to an open basket.
"Fish?
Of a kind, fearsome one."
The subaltern gestured to a cluster of hairy and hard-shelled spheres.
"And these?"
"A fruit that grows in the crowns of the largest trees. Rich flesh, with a kind of milk inside."
"Open one."
The food-bearer inserted a hooked finger deep into the seam of the fruit and pried it open. Sito gouged out a fingerful of the pinkish flesh and brought it to his broad mouth.
"Too good for them," he announced as the flesh dissolved on his thorn-pierced tongue. "But necessary, I suppose."
Few of the guards accepted that the prisoners couldn't tolerate Yuuzhan Vong food. They suspected that the alleged intolerance was a ploy, part of an ongoing contest of wills between the captives and their captors. The food-bearer placed his hands, palms raised, just below his heart, in a position of prayer.
"Yun Yuuzhan is merciful, fearsome one. He provides even for the enemies of the true faith."
Sito glowered at him.
"What do you know of Yun Yuuzhan?"
"I have embraced the truth. It took the coming of the Yuuzhan Vong to open my eyes to the existence of the gods. Through their mercy, even your captives will see the truth."
Sito shook his head firmly.
"The prisoners cannot be converted, for then the war is over. But eventually, all will kneel before Yun Yuuzhan."
He waved a signal to the sentries.
"Admit the food-bearer."
In the largest of the wooden huts, all of which had been built by the prisoners themselves, there was little to do but tend to the sick and dying, pass the daylight hours in conversation or games of chance, or wait ravenously for the next meal to arrive.
harsh coughing or the occasional laugh punctuated a grim, broiling silence. The Yuuzhan Vong hadn't required any of the captives to work in the villa paddies or anywhere else in or outside the Yorick coral walls, and thus far only the top-ranking officers had been interrogated. A diverse lot, most of the prisoners had been taken at Bilbringi, but others had arrived from worlds as distant as Yagdul, Antar IV, and Ord Mantell. They wore the tattered remains of starfighter flight suits and combat uniforms. Their battered and undernourished bodies, whether hairless, coated, sleek, or fleshy, were laminated in sweat and grime. They had basic in common, and more important, a deep abiding hatred for the Yuuzhan Vong. That they hadn't been killed outright meant that they were being saved for sacrifice, probably on completion of the world-forming of Selvaris, or in anticipation of an imminent battle with Galactic Alliance forces. "Chow's here," a human standing at the entrance said. A rare cheer went up, and everyone capable got to their feet, forming up in an orderly line that spoke to the discipline demonstrated ceaselessly by the captives. Eyes wide, mouths salivating at the mere thought of nourishment, several of the prisoners hurried outside to help unload the food wagon and carry everything inside. A Twi'lek with an amputated leku studied the short being who had delivered the food, while the two of them were hauling sacks and pots into the hut. "You're Rin," the Twi'lek said. "Hope that doesn't mean you won't touch the food," the Rin said. The Twi'lek's orange eyes shone. "Some of the best food I've ever tasted was prepared by Rin. Years ago, I ran with a couple of your people in the Outer Rim." "Tan Shan," a human voice rang out. Everyone in earshot snapped to as a pair of human officers in uniform approached the hut. The prisoners had abandoned all notions of rank, but if it could be said that anyone was in command, it was these two, Captain Judder Page and Major Posh Kraken. Hailing from important worlds, Page from Coralag, Kraken from Khontrum, they had much in common. Both were scions of influential families, and both had trained at the Imperial Academy before defecting to the Rebel Alliance during the Galactic Civil War. Page, the more unremarkable-looking of the pair, had established the Katarn Commandos. And Kraken, still ruggedly handsome and muscular in midlife, Kraken's flight group. Both had managed to become as fluent in Yuuzhan Vong as Subaltern Sito was in basic. "Make room for the Major and the Captain at the front of the line," the same human who had announced them ordered. The officers deferred. "We'll eat after the rest of you have had your share," Page said for the two of them. "Please, sirs," several of those online insisted. Page and Kraken exchanged resigned looks and nodded. Kraken accepted a wooden bowl that had been fashioned by one of the prisoners and moved to the head of the food line, where the Rin was stirring the gruelish contents of a large Yorick coral container. "We appreciate your bringing this," Kraken said. His eyes were pale green, and his flame-red hair was shot through with gray, adding a measure of distinction to his aristocratic features. The Rin smiled slyly. Plunging a ladle deep into the gruel, he bent over the pot, encouraging Kraken to do the same in order to get his bowl filled. When Kraken's left ear was within whisper distance of the Rin's mouth, the being said, "Rin 115, out of Vortex." Kraken hid his surprise. He had learned about the Rin Syndicate only 2 months earlier, during a briefing on Mon Calamari, which had become Galactic Alliance headquarters following the fall of Coruscant. An extensive spy network, comprised of not only Rin, but also members of other equally displaced species, the Syndicate made use of secret space routes and hyperlanes blazed by the Jedi to provide safe passage for individuals and covert intelligence. "You have something for us?" Kraken asked quietly while the Rin was ladling gruel into the wooden bowl. The Rin's forward-facing eyes darted between the container and Kraken's lined face. "Chew carefully, Major," he said, just loud enough to be heard.
Expect the unexpected.
Kraken straightened, whispering the message to Paige, who in turn whispered it to the Bith behind him in line. Surreptitiously, the message was relayed again and again, until it had reached the last of the 100 or so prisoners. By then, Kraken, Paige, and some of the others had carried their bowls to a crude table, around which they squatted and began to finger the gruel carefully into their mouths, glancing at one another in understated anticipation. At the same time, three prisoners moved to the doorway to keep an eye out for guards. The Yuuzhan Vong hadn't installed villips or other listening devices in the huts, but warriors like Shito, who displayed obvious curiosity about the enemy, had made it a habit to barge in without warning and conduct sweeps and searches. A Deveronian hunkered down across the table from Paige made a gagging sound. Faking a cough, he gingerly removed an object from his slash of dangerous mouth and glanced at it in secret. Everyone stared at him in expectation.
"Gristle," he said, lifting beady, disappointed eyes. "At least I think that's what it is."
The prisoners went back to eating, the tension mounting as their fingers began to scrape the bottoms of their bowls. Then Kraken bit down on something that made his molars ache. He brought his left hand to his mouth and used his tongue to push the object into his cupped hand. The center of attention, he opened his hand briefly, recognizing the object at once. Keeping the thing palmed, he set it on the table and slid it to his left, where in the blink of an eye it disappeared under the right hand of Paige.
"Hollow wafer," the captain said softly without taking a second look. "It'll display only once. We're going to have to be quick about it."
Kraken nodded his chin to the horned Deveronian.
"Find Klokdor, Garbin, and the rest of that crew, and bring them here quickest."
The Deveronian stood up and hurried out the doorway. Paige ran his hand over his bearded face.
"We're going to need a place to display the data. We can't risk doing it in the open."
Kraken thought for a moment, then turned to the long-bearded Bothan to his right.
"Who's the one with the sabacc deck?"
The alien's fur rippled slightly.
"That'd be Coruscant. Tell him we need him."
The Bothan nodded and made for the doorway. As word spread through the hut, the prisoners began to converse loudly as cover for what was being said by those who remained at the table. The Rin banged his ladle against the side of the pot, and several of the prisoners distributed fruits to the others by tossing them through the air as if in a game of catch.
"How are things in the yard?" Paige asked the lookouts at the doorway.
"Coruscant's coming, sir. Also Clockdoor's bunch."
"The guards?"
"No one's paying any mind."
Coruscant, a tall, blonde-haired human, entered grinning and fanning a deck of sabacc cards he'd fashioned from squares of leather.
"Did I hear right that someone's interested in a game?"
Paige motioned for everyone to form a circle in the center of the hut and to raise the noise level. The guards had grown accustomed to the boisterous activity that would sometimes erupt during card games, and Paige was determined to provide a dose of the real thing. A dozen prisoners broke out in song. The rest conversed jocularly, giving odds and making bets. The human gambler, three Bith, and a Jennet were passed through the falsely jubilant crowd to the center of the circle, where Paige and Kraken were waiting with the hollow wafer. Coruscant began to dole out cards. Highly evolved humanoids, Bith were deep thinkers and skillful artists, with an ability to store and sift through immense amounts of data. The Jennet, in contrast, was short and rodent-like, but possessed of an eidetic memory. When Paige was satisfied that the inner circle was effectively sealed off, he crouched down as if to join in the game.
"We'll get only one chance at this. You sure you can do it?"
The Jennet's muzzle twitched in amusement, and he fixed his red eyes on Paige.
"That's why you chose us, isn't it?"
Paige nodded.
"Then let's get to it."
Deftly, Paige set the small wafer on the plank floor and activated it with the pressure of his right forefinger. An inverted cone of blue light projected upward,
within which flared a complex mathematical equation Page couldn't begin to comprehend, much less solve or memorize. As quickly as the numbers and symbols appeared, they disappeared. Then the wafer itself issued a sibilant sound and liquefied. He had his mouth open to ask the Bith and the Genet if they had been successful in committing the equation to memory, when Sito and three Yuuzhan Vong guards stormed into the hut and shouldered their way to the center of the circle, their kufi daggers unsheathed and their serpentine amphistaffs on high alert, ready to strike or spit venom as needed. "Cease your activities at once," the subaltern bellowed. The crowd fanned out slowly and began to quiet down. Coruscant and the ostensible card players moved warily out of striking range of the amphistaffs. "What's the problem, subaltern?" Page asked in Yuuzhan Vong. "Since when do you engage in games of chance at nourishment hour?"
"We're wagering for second helpings."
Sieto glared at him.
"You trifle with me, human."
Page shrugged elaborately.
"It's my job, Sieto."
The subaltern took a menacing step forward.
"Put an end to your game and your singing, or we'll remove the parts of you that are responsible for it."
The four Yuuzhan Vong turned and marched from the hut.
"That guy has absolutely no sense of humor," Coruscant said when he felt he could.
Everyone in the vicinity of Page and Kraken looked to the two officers.
"The data has to reach Alliance Command," Kraken said.
Page nodded in agreement.
"When do we send them out?"
Kraken compressed his lips.
"Prayer hour."